Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Dave, how are you today?
On the mend. Thank you for asking, sir.
Good. I'm glad you're getting better. It's been a rough road here the last few weeks.
Oh, I know. I think it comes with the age. I'm not sure. But I'm still young of heart and young of mind.
That's good to hear.
Let's talk about the marketplace where USDA essentially kicked the can down the road today. And it appears on first blush off the opening bell that the trade isn't believing it.
They're correcting the corn spread, and that makes sense, but they're allowing also the beans to find a lot of support, and I think that kind of makes some sense, too. You think about this report, Dave, and you think about the stocks report, and from March 30th to April 5th, we essentially took corn in the July futures up to about $1.05, and in the July beans, we essentially went flat. We rallied after the report initially, but then we gave all that back in the following days heading into the April 5th close. And so now we're here on the report day with the trade thinking that the corn report's going to be bullish, the bean report's going to be negative, or at least no better than neutral. So the trade essentially bought corn and sold beans. And the USDA said to this morning, you don't need to do that. We have plenty of corn. You don't need to ration corn demand. And the bean report made sense. They took the crush down. They took the exports down to total a 15 million bushel reduction, and so that's where they got the 140 and the no change, and that matched up with the stocks number pretty well. But the corn report left, I think, most people very, very puzzled, because not only did they take ethanol up, but then they took feed and residual down, and that's the one that everybody's been so focused on that should have probably gone up if anything else should have gone up or anything else would have gone up. So a lot more questions today than answers when it comes to the corn. Wheat and beans make pretty much pretty good sense, I think.
Well, I'm not going to make too much of that July-December corn spread, Mike, unless, I mean, it did lose 4 or 5 cents in current trade. I don't have it right in front of me. But it seems to me the 50-day moving average is around 100, about 100 and a half, somewhere in there?
Yeah, right about 98 cents to a dollar is a lot of technical support. 10-day moving average, 50-day moving average, and a long-term trend line. So you're right, there's a lot of downside that we could have. Well, and you look at May corn, you really don't have a sell signal coming unless you go back through the old high of 735 on a closing basis. So there again, in May corn, you've got 25 to 30 cents downside, and you could test support and go on your own merry way if you wanted to, technically speaking. I think the heart and soul of today's report, for me, says that the trade is going to have to contend with and fight the bullishness and the need to ration demand, because USDA is no longer on their side. And what that means to me is that you need once again the wheat as your supportive feature. You got the wheat corn spread down to 6 or 8 cents this week. USDA came in with a pretty substantial drop in global production for wheat, a nice drop in global production for wheat, and then you've got this corn carryover situation now saying you don't need to ration demand. So if people call me and say, do you think that the corn can go on up to another level and we can get to $8 in the front-end corn, I've got to think after today's report, you need May wheat to break above its 50-day resistance and break out above 785 on a closing basis. You essentially need wheat to take you to that next level in corn, especially given that the corn planting is starting to get underway.
And it would also seem to me in the next couple of weeks, the exports are going to have to prove USDA wrong, too.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's a heck of a good point. And the other thing that I noticed, too, on today's report, Dave, is that when I saw the grain numbers, I immediately went over to the meat section of the report and looked at the pork exports and the beef exports for 2010. USDA left those completely unchanged for U.S. exports of beef and pork. They did raise beef exports for 2011 by 50 million pounds, but they left pork exports for 2011 unchanged. Here again, trying to tie in the idea, well, are we going to ship more animal and more meat over into Asia and less grains? And so there is still a lot on the table when it comes to the demand and the supply side of the corn. I think what you said in the beginning of the conversation about the USDA kicking the can down the road, I think it makes logical sense that they don't feel the need to explain themselves, and they are also under the window of planting. So if we have a really nice planting window and we get lots of acres planted, maybe we will have averted an issue of needing to take the corn any higher because we did get end users, you know, bought up. Probably from what I'm hearing in Chicago, end users are bought up about 2 to 3 months at this point. They're not quite all the way bought through pollination, but they're pretty close.
Which then takes us to weather and how soon we can get corn in the ground. Here in Illinois, some of the ground maps are beginning to show that, yes, indeed, a significant portion of the state is above 50 degrees, so the temperature is fine, but what about the precipitation?
Exactly right, and it's interesting to hear some of the clients and subscribers in Illinois tell me about the corn planting because they're saying it's some of the best they've ever seen. People south of Tuscola, people over by Springfield, those areas sound like they are really finding some really nice dirt to plant into, and it's encouraging. But then they immediately say not only about the rain, but they also talk about a late frost. So we're not out of the woods at all in the corn market. And when you talk about the weather, I hate to go back to it, but when you look at the wheat weather, that's even more significant and even more timely in terms of production potential losses, both in terms of the hard red belt and also the planting delays possibly in the northern plains. So you've got the U.S. wheat situation, very, very concerning. You've got the European weather map showing that the last 30 days they've had about 30 to 60% less moisture than they normally have this time of year, and you've still got the Chinese winter wheat belt that is needing and thirsting for some rain as well. So even if I look at the weather side of the equation, it would say to me that the wheat has a much more likely scenario to be built up, that funds would want to cover shorts there as opposed to new funds buy into new longs as we plant corn. So I really want to go back to that wheat and say to myself, okay, we go below the 200-day moving average in May, wheat of 754. We've probably capped the top end for corn at this point.
And then complicating it all was USDA NAS Director Joe Prasaki saying that all the reports on the table because of budget cuts.
That's exactly right. They're saying that even if we don't shut the government down, the weekly crop progress reports and other reports by NAS are certainly on the table right now to be cut. The big question is timing and how many months that would take. But that goes back to even more volatility in the market. And I know we're running out of time, but we haven't even hit the outside market, all the things that have happened out there. But to bottom line, all the things that have happened out there, interest rates and currencies and emerging markets are starting to show that they're going to cause some more headwinds for us. So we can't lose sight of that as we get into the planters and start building this year's supply up again.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a good day.
You too. That's Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana.